Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for today and the beauty all around us. We thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for inviting us into your fold. And we thank you for being there with us. We pray that you would speak to us once more in your holy word, that you would remove me and let me not get in the way. Please speak to us all once more today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, did you see it on my face that I wanted to come down, but I didn't want to come down? All right, so this passage is really an interesting passage, right? It is. I think it is. Because, look, sometimes we ask the wrong questions. Take, for example, here. In this passage, we have some Sadducees, it says. Some Sadducees were there, and it says right in the beginning, verse 27, some of the Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus with a question. They tipped their hand. So they go to Jesus with this question. Now the Sadducees, again, remember, it said right here, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And they go to Jesus with this question. What is the question? It's a question pertaining to the resurrection. So that's interesting. So they ask him this question. They go into it asking this question. And they go through this long question, right? And they're trying to test Jesus. That's what they're trying to do. And so they ask this question. And they start out with the law of Moses, right? They say, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. And so they give this example of these seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second one, and then the third one, and so on and so forth, all the way through, all seven, and then the woman died too. And so they ask this question in verse 33. They say, now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? It's the wrong question. My dad, or my teacher, I don't remember who, but one of the two, probably both of them. My dad always said, there's no stupid question. We'll say that. But I'm pretty sure, and I wouldn't say this is a stupid question, but they know what they're doing, right? And so we can't, you know, we all want to know how the afterlife's going to work. We all want to know how the resurrection is going to work. We want to know how our relationships are going to work. We don't really know. It's the honest truth. That's the mystery of it all, the mystery of resurrection, mystery of heaven. And so here, they're trying to trick him. It's the wrong question. But Jesus gives the right answer. And so he goes into this idea that he can't answer their question, because if he tries to answer their question, he's just not going to be able to do it. They're not going to let him, right? So he does what Jesus does, and he goes around their question, and he begins to answer the right question that they're not asking. And so what is that? He goes into the resurrection of the dead. He goes into what they don't believe in. And how does he point to that? See, he says that we shouldn't be concerned with the marriage. We shouldn't be concerned with those things because God's going to work them out. It's hard. It's hard to hear. I mean, I pray I don't die, anytime soon, or Laura, but, to not be with her in some way that we are now is very difficult, you know, to hear. But I got to trust that God's going to work it all out. Right? It's a hard word. But what he points to here is that we shouldn't be concerned with that because we are God's children. We're like the angels, right? And when we die and we're with God, we're like the angels. We're not going to be concerned with marriage, is what he's saying. Don't worry about it, he's saying. Don't worry about it. I got you. And as far as the resurrection of the dead, as far as eternal life, he says here in verse 37, he says, in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise. Recalls the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive. And so Jesus points out that there is life after death. That there is something. You know, maybe there are some here who have questioned this in the past. Is this it? You know, maybe you've experienced loved ones passing away, dying right before you. Lots of them, or some of them, or you've just seen it and you've said, this is it. Maybe you've questioned that. I know I have. But Jesus says this isn't it. Jesus points that this isn't it. That God isn't a God of the dead. God is a God of the living. And so Jesus points to that hope for us. And it's so important to hold on to that hope. It's so important to trust in that hope. And that isn't false hope either. Because if you look outside, we can't really, maybe you can see from your seats, but look outside. Look at these trees. You know, Linda caught me last week looking around. She said I was looking at the world like I was looking at it for the first time. And you look and you see the trees all around us. They're dying, right? The leaves are dying off of them. They're falling from these trees. And so many of us think how beautiful that is, right? We drive hours away to see certain areas that just mark the beauty of death, right? Of preparing for winter. And yet, just like they're dying in the season that we call fall, that isn't the end. It's just the beginning. Because we can trust that spring and summer will come after fall and winter. That life will be renewed. And just like that, Jesus tells us to trust and to hope that this isn't the end. That no matter what we're going through, no matter what our loved ones are going through, no matter what questions may be posed, that this isn't the end. And that we hope in the Lord above all things. So no matter what happens Tuesday, this isn't the end. And we hope in our Lord. You understand? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And our Savior is in charge of everything. May not always feel like it, but God is always working in the world. And that is a great hope that we can never forget. And so let's hope in that this week. Let's hope in that if we can hope in nothing else. Let us trust in that hope of the Lord, that life does come from death. That no matter what's going on around us, that we can be still and know that He is God and God alone. That we can rest in Him, that we can have that hope no matter what. Because our God is the God of the living, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac. And our God is a living God. Let us hope in Him now, always, and forever, in this life and the life to come. Amen.